Okay, the next thing that kind of gets in the way is an attitude.
Wait. Oh. Emmanuel has a...
Sorry, I'm like the in the shadows, maybe.
Yeah.
But kind of backtracking a little bit with the whole us having a dream here, you know, and kind of the Course in Miracles people saying, I'm not here. You know, mm-hmm. That's kind of funny. But one of the things that I really admire Jesus, if Jesus considered this a simulation, what I do admire about him is like... you were talking about Lazarus and him raising him from the dead, but the idea behind the waiting 3 days is because he had to be very perceptive that the culture said that if someone were to raise someone from the dead earlier than 3 days, the spirit was usually hanging around the person's body. So that was Jewish culture. They believed that. So yeah. He purposely waited 3 days so that they can't use that against him and say, oh, no, he was... dead only for 2 days, so you he just jumped.
I think it was 3.5 days. I remember.
Oh,
yeah.
Three.
I thought it was four. Well,
4 days, yeah. And
it was 4 days.
But I think that's Jesus really engaged in the game, though. Like, he had to perceive the culture. He cried with both Marys, which is very perceptive. And then he was paying attention to Lazarus' spirit body and the other side, which is very perceptive. So even though, like, it's a game, like, Jesus really played hard at the game. Like, he really was engaged with what was happening in his environment. So I kind of find the idea of a dream and taking a casual... kind of like a casual backseater approach is, could be kind of like not really living life in a way. But those are just my thoughts.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
They have to be dead a time times and half a time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those 3.5 keeps appearing over and over, 3.5 time periods in the scriptures. The next one is a quote by Voltaire, which kind of gives a true principle that creates a problem. The perfect is the enemy of the good. Does any
the one
the yeah. perfect is the enemy of the good. What does that statement mean? How is the perfect an enemy of the good?
If you try to make it perfect, you ruin and you don't succeed. You ruin the good that you have.
Yeah, that can happen. Or let's say in voting, you like a candidate that has no chance of getting elected, and so you and your associates vote for this guy, but that prevented the second best guy from getting elected. You know, like... I won't say one's better than the other, but in the 2000 election, it was decided by like 200 votes, and a lot of people thought, "Boy, our group cast couple thousand votes for candidate A or B that could have went and changed the election because." Bush just won by 200 votes. So a lot of people were really upset that they voted for the Green Party or...
Ross Perot.
Nader.
Ralph Nader, yeah. Ralph Nader took thousands of votes.
Yeah.
And if people didn't vote for the perfect, what they thought he was a perfect candidate, and Al Gore was not quite very perfect, they could have switched the election. So sometimes... To head toward what is perfect, you need to accept compromise and things that are not perfect. And the person really exemplifies this is Elon Musk. Jeff Bezos began his rocket company, and he had billions of dollars to work with, in the year 2000. 2 years ahead of Musk. And at that time, Bezos was worth $4.7 billion. Musk was worth $20 million. You know, about less than 1% the money that he had. So, but they had two different attitudes in developing the rockets. Musk got a 2-year, started 2 years after Bezos, and with much less money. But he had a totally different attitude. Bezos had the idea that, well, we have to run all kinds of tests and get these rockets working perfect before we launch. Musk had the attitude, well, let's put things together, and if the rocket blows up, it doesn't matter because we'll learn from it. Okay, so Musk had a lot of his rockets blow up, and he got a lot of criticism, and that people made fun of him. Ah, he just makes rockets that blow up. But he developed his rockets much faster because he didn't demand perfection before they lit the rocket. Okay, he put together as fast as he could the rocket and launched it and saw what worked and what didn't work and then made the improvements and moved on. And he has launched hundreds and hundreds of rockets, and Bezos has only launched one big rocket, okay, one good-sized one. And he got a 2-year head start with billions of dollars extra in the bank. Now, NASA is unable to duplicate what Musk has done because NASA has that same attitude. We got to make sure the rocket is perfect before we press that button and launch it. So they put it off through all kinds of tests and test again and again and again. And where Musk goes ahead, puts stuff together as quick as possible and experiments, and he doesn't care if it blows up because he gets criticized for it and people make fun of him. But now he's finally got that Starship, the largest rocket ever created, that is near perfection. And he did it by not demanding perfection as he goes along, but with perfection as the final goal. And so if we demand perfection, the following perfection as we go along, it makes it difficult. And the same thing with, I found this to be true with sales, and of course I've been in sales most of his life too, is that I find salespeople, when they're learning a trade, fall into two categories. One, they want to make sure they get everything down perfect before they go give a sales presentation. And then there's others that will say, well, so just give me the essence of the thing, and I'll go by the seat of my pants, and I want to go out and present. Okay, the guy that doesn't demand to learn it perfect is the one that makes the sales, and the people that demand I want to get the presentation down word for word and just perfect so I can go out and I can feel confident. Those type of people do not make the sales. Would you identify with that, Curtis?
Yeah, when I sold cookware, I watched this guy do this presentation, and I thought, well, I can do that. You know, he gets up there in front of this group of people, and he does a cookware demonstration, tells a few jokes, has a good time. His wife does all the hard work in the kitchen. I said, well, I want to do that. So I went to one sales meeting, and I said, give me a kit. I want to go sell. And I sold the first 3 full sets, and I didn't know much what I was doing. I had to call the guy up and say, how do I fill this contract out? I got people buying it, and I don't even know how to do the paperwork.
Yeah. Carlos Cookware?
Yeah, Emmanuel, you had some?
Carlos Cookware?
Yeah. I was just thinking about that saying where it says, like, ignorance on fire is better than knowledge on ice. So that was a good sales training that I got early on, that they would rather have the 17-year-old with acne to go out there and pass out a bunch of DVDs about the opportunity than the CEO guy who just has to read the whole manual and hasn't made one sale. Like, we want the 17-year-old who's just excited. Like, if you can just be excited and go out there, that person will make more money than the CEO that's learning everything.
And it's also kind of the idea in the molecular politics is that we have extremes on both sides, Republican and Democrat. And among the Republicans and Democrats, there's people that on both sides that are unwilling to compromise, and there's a number of them that are willing to, you know, go with punches a little bit. In the molecular politics books that I've written, it gives the idea, which Tyler's going to talk about, is presenting the will of, representing the actual will of the people. Because if either extreme got complete power, we'd be in probably lay the foundation for a dictatorship. Whereas if we go by what the people will actually vote for and support, it will not be perfect. We won't always get our way, but it will be much better than what we have now. Because what we have now is we get one side in power and we go way over here, and then we get the other side in power and we go way over here, and we lose a bunch in between. If we could just stay somewhere in the middle,